You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen R. Covey. Well, at the end of the last show, we were looking at the talent magnet. A CEO of a $3 billion consumer product firm was leading his management team through an important product pricing decision that had the potential to generate profits that would fund much-needed R&D expenditures. One member of the management team, Ron, was reluctant to let go of the current model and to support the direction of the team. After a series of management meetings to debate the issues, it came down to a moment of truth decision in an important executive staff meeting. Prior to the meeting, the CEO pulled Ron aside and asked frankly, "If the team wants to move forward with the pricing change, will you let go of your position against this and support a new model?" Ron agreed that he would support the new direction. However, during the staff meeting, Ron again dug in his heels, telling the group, "My team simply won't support the new pricing model." There was a silent exasperation in the room as the team could see that their ideas and energy were being blocked. Once again, the CEO stopped the meeting and asked Ron to step outside. He took him about 40 yards down the hall to his office, and he fired him right there on the spot. As he walked back to the conference room, the CEO wondered if he had acted too fast and if this move would throw off the team. He re-entered the conference room and told them. Instead of concern, he could see the relief on their faces. One executive team member said, "Look, if anything, I think you waited too long." Is it possible that your smartest people may be impeding the smarts of your organization? And it is possible that you are waiting too long to remove all the blockers. Next section, get out of the way. Sometimes a talent magnet removes the prima donna who is blocking the intelligence of others. But sometimes the blocker is the leader himself or herself. C.K. Prahalad, management guru and one of my mentors, once shared with me an old saying in India: nothing grows under a banyan tree. It provides shade and is comfortable, but it allows no sun in for growth. Many leaders are banyan trees. They protect their people, but nothing grows under them. One corporate VP had a favorite saying, quoting often and written on her door, "Ignore me as needed to get your job done." This simple mantra signaled an important trust in the judgment and capability of others. Her people knew that exercising their judgment and getting the job done rapidly was more important than placating the boss. She told new staff members, Yes, there will be a few times when I get agitated because I would have done it differently, but I'll get over it. I'd rather you trust your judgment, keep moving, and get the job done. Talent magnets remove the barriers that block the growth of intelligence in their people. The world of the talent magnet is dynamic. Talent is drawn in by the strong gravitational pull of the talent magnet. It is then fully utilized, stretched, made continually ready for new challenges. Life with an empire builder doesn't offer the same thrill ride. It is a world of politics, ownership, and limitations. The diminisher's approach to managing talent. Multipliers operate from a belief that talent exists everywhere, and they can use it at its highest if they can simply identify the genius in people. Diminishers think people need to report to me in order to get them to do anything. One such senior director said the only thing that was wrong with the underperforming IT division was that it reported to someone else. He saw owning the resources himself as a primary solution. Diminishers are owners of talent, not developers of talent. Because they don't actively develop talent, people in their organizations languish and can actually regress. Acquiring resources. Empire builders focus their energy on acquiring resources and slotting them into organizational structures where they are visibly and clearly under the command of the leader. For some leaders, this amassing of talent can become an obsession. Recall Jasper Wallace, the high-cost diminisher from the first chapter, who was obsessed with the size of his organization relative to those of his peers on the executive team. After years of building his organization with his right hand, while masking the underlying problems with his left hand, Jasper succeeded in building an empire complete with a separate office tower, customer visit center, and training campus just for his division. However, his organization had become gangly after such rapid, unrestrained growth and created additional problems of integration and coordination. The hole became deeper and deeper until the division was radically scaled back and folded into another group. Like ancient Rome, the empire eventually got overextended and collapsed under its own weight. Putting people in boxes. Divide and conquer is the modus operandi of empire builders. They bring in great talent and carve out a fiefdom for them, but they don't encourage people to step beyond these walls. Rather than give broad scope to their management team, empire builders ensure that they themselves are the point of integration. You can often spot an empire builder because he or she either operates exclusively through one-on-one meetings or runs staff meetings as an official report out from each fiefdom. One manager was known for making key decisions one-on-one rather than with his team. This fosters a covert and high-stakes game among his lieutenants. Each of them would vie for the coveted one-on-one meeting time. The last meeting was Friday afternoon. Why? Because everyone knew that he made his decisions by himself over the weekend and announced them to his staff meeting on Monday. People quickly learned that the person who got his ear last on Friday afternoon would have the most influence. His divide and conquer approach not only kept people in narrowly defined roles, it was a dangerous and costly way to make decisions. Let talent anguish. One way empire builders strive their talent is by hogging the limelight for themselves. They are often prima donna, insisting that they get the maximum time on stage and that scripts are written to feature them. whereas talent magnets give credit, empire builders take credit. Hogging the limelight is an active way empire builders hold others back, but the more insidious problem is actually what they don't do. These managers actively acquire talent, but then are passive about growing it. They are, for the most part, oblivious to the development of others. In fact, in our quantitative research, we found that develops the talent of the team was among the lowest three skills of the diminisher. They also stifle talent because they don't clear away the deadwood. One diminisher we studied was notorious for draining his organization through his inaction. People said he and his management team never made decisions. They didn't make waves. They just kept analyzing. Instead of firing toxic or ineffective leaders, they would slowly disable them. One observer noted it was torture to watch one of his staff get cut off. It was like a child pulling off the legs of a spider one by one and then watching it hobble away. When leaders play the role of the empire builder, they bring in great resources, but they underutilize them because they fundamentally undervalue them. They continue to operate in a one-brain, many-hands organizational model that stunts the growth of both intelligence and talent around them. Diminishers build organizations where people go to die. This is why diminishers are costly to organizations. The assets in their portfolio do not increase in value. Leveraging talent. Marguerite Hancock, the Girls Camp director discussed earlier, is known for getting the maximum effort from her team. Not only does she attract and develop a team of A players, this university professor researcher expects A quality work from everyone. She isn't shy about asking others to do the really tough stuff. One team member said, "She asks you to do really hard things, but she makes it an act of service, not servitude. And she fully expects you to ask other people to do the hard things, too." Under Marguerite's leadership, people say they execute to the maximum and do things they never thought they could do. When Girls Camp is over each year, her fellow leaders confess to feeling a certain relief it has done. But they say, "I feel like all that effort was worth it. I'm absolutely exhausted, but I'm ready to do it all over again." A-level players delivering A-level work, exhausted but ready to do it again. This is the way of the talent magnet. This is how, under their leadership, smart people get smarter. Talent magnets go beyond attracting smart people to their organizations. They also draw out that talent by connecting people with opportunities that allow them to operate at their highest point of contribution. It's possible to create a chart that reflects why empire builders leave capability on the table while talent magnets create and grow intelligence all around them. Empire builders, what they do, they hoard resources and underutilize talent. What they get, a reputation as the person A player should avoid working for. This is the place you go to die or putting in time before you retire. They also get underutilized people whose capabilities atrophy. They also get disillusioned people, players who don't reach out to other players. They get stagnation of talent where disillusioned players quit. On the other hand, talent magnets, what they do, they attract talent and deploy it as the highest point of contribution. What they get is a reputation as the person A quality players should work for, the place you go to grow. They get fully utilized people whose genius continues to expand. They get inspired A-level players who attract other A-level players into the organization. They get a flow of A players, attracting other A players as they move up and out of the organization. Becoming a talent magnet. The promise of a multiplier is that they get twice the capability and the capacity, plus a growth dividend from their people as their genius expands under the leadership of the multiplier. Let's now look at a few starting points for becoming a talent magnet. The starting block, becoming a genius watcher. Todd Paletta, a retailing executive and aspiring multiplier, had just finished an exhausting business meeting in New York and settled into his business class seat, heading for home on the West Coast. As the plane took off, he heard the cry of a baby. He hoped it would stop after the plane settled into the standard cruising altitude of 30,000 feet. It didn't. He then realized the sound was right behind him, right there in business class. A baby in business class. The mother stood up in the aisle trying to console the child. Now the jarring sound was right next to his ear. Todd was annoyed at first, but as his attention became focused on the mother, he started genius watching. He found himself studying her actions closely and appreciating her efforts to soothe the child. He observed the way she jiggled the demands of the child and the silent frustrations of the other passengers. He watched longer and noticed her patience. He began talking with her, learning more about her, her efforts, her interests. He started forming hypotheses about her talents and perhaps even a source of her genius. He then started to wonder, if she worked on my team, how would I put these capabilities to use? Where would she excel in my team? No. Todd didn't make a job offer to this mother during the flight, or after. The point is that Todd was learning to genius watch and was practicing it even in the most unusual places and circumstances. He had spent the last 2 weeks studying the capabilities of the people in his organization, looking to identify their native genius and how he might best utilize it in his business. And he was in genius watching mode. And he couldn't help but see it everywhere, even in the efforts of a mother with an inconsolable child and a plane full of aggravated passengers. Here are 3 steps to help you begin genius watching. Number 1, identify it. Make a list of 8 to 10 people you work with closely. Start to note the things they do both easily and freely. Go beyond surface-level skills like she is an Excel spreadsheet wizard. If you need help finding the underlying capabilities, ask why about 3 times until you find the underlying capability that allows someone to do some activity well. For example, Susan may appear to be an Excel wizard on the surface, but perhaps it is because she's really good at modeling data. And perhaps she is good at modeling data because she had a genius for critical thinking. Number 2, test it. Once you've developed a hypothesis about each person, test out your thinking and refine your views. Ask a colleague if he thinks critical thinking is one of Susan's geniuses. Test the idea with Susan herself. Ask her what she is good at and what she wants to further excel at. Number 3, work it. Once you've found a native genius for someone, make a list of 5 different roles you could put that person in that would utilize and expand this genius. If Susan is a financial analyst, what other roles could you put her in that would draw upon her intelligence or critical thinking? Perhaps she'd be good in a strategy role or in the marketing competitive intelligence team. Go beyond formal jobs and identify ad hoc roles. Perhaps Susan would be good at reviewing an important presentation that you are making to the board of directors to find holes or inconsistencies. Or maybe you should be assigned to a task force to pick the location of the next offshore R&D center. Just as the talent magnet looks for talent beyond the organizational boundaries, look for jobs and roles both inside and outside of your organization. pull some weeds. Individual genius can be deceptive. At first look, it would appear costly to remove one super smart player, even if she has a diminishing effect on the team. But one needs only to do the math to see the high cost of destructive genius. Our research consistently confirmed that diminishers cause people to operate at about 50% of their full intelligence and capability. Removing a highly intelligent employee or leader can be difficult, but it can have huge payoffs. On a work team of 11 people, removing a diminisher can give back the equivalent of 5 full-time people, with 10 people operating at 100%. You may lose one mind, you'll gain back 5. This is the law of numbers. Leaders most often know who the blockers are. The most common mistake they make is waiting too long to remove them. If you want to unleash the talent that is latent in your organization, find the weeds and pull them out. Don't do it quietly, like K.R. Sridhar and the CEO described earlier. Huddle the team immediately and let them know you've removed someone because he or she was holding back the team. Give people permission to think fully again. Each of the above is a starting point that can create a proof point for the power of the talent magnet. Once successful, you'll be one step further along the path of the multiplier. Up and to the right. Sue Segal, former president of Affymetrics and an extraordinary multiplier, reflected on her pillar experience as a leader. She said, "My best moments were when team members would call me after accomplishing some tough goal or overcoming a high hurdle. They were usually tired, but they were brimming with enthusiasm, having grown through the challenge. These moments were exhilarating for them and me." People who worked for Sue indeed described the time as a highlight of their career. Talent magnets encourage people to grow and leave. They write letters of recommendation, and they help people find the next stage and to perform on. And when people leave their group, they celebrate their departures and shout their success to everyone. You see, these celebrations become their best recruiting tool. Jack and Susie Welsh wrote, "The best thing about being a preferred employer is it gets you the good people, and this launches a virtuous cycle. The best teams attract the best team people, and winning often leads to more winning. That's a ride that you and your employees will never want to get off." Talent magnets create a cycle of attraction that is exhilarating for both employer and employee alike. Their organizations are coveted places of employment, and people flock to work with them knowing that the talent magnet will stretch them, grow them, and accelerate their careers. It is a thrill ride with the speed and exhilaration of a roller coaster, but one that, like the revenue chart of every CFO's dreams, moves constantly up and to the right.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenary, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenary, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen R. Covey. summarizing what we've been talking about, let's look at the multiplier formula. The empire builder versus the talent magnet. Empire builders bring in great talent, but they underutilize it because they hoard resources and use them only for their own gain. Talent magnets get access to the best talent because people flock to work for them, knowing that they will be fully utilized and developed to be ready for the next stage. The four practices of the talent magnet. 1. Look for talent everywhere. Appreciate all forms of genius. Ignore boundaries. 2. Find people's native genius. Look for what is native. Label it. 3. Utilize people to their fullest. Connect people with opportunities. Shine a spotlight. 4. Remove the blockers. Get rid of prima donnas. Then get out of the way. Becoming a talent magnet. Become a genius watcher. Pull out some weeds. Some of the unexpected findings in research in this area include the following. 1. Both talent magnets and empire builders attract A-level talent. What differentiates them is what they do with their talent once it's in the door. 2. Talent magnets don't run out of talent by moving their people on to bigger and better opportunities, because there is a steady stream of talent wanting to get into their organizations. In future shows, we're going to be looking at another type of character type known as the liberator. In the words of John Dewey, the only freedom that is of enduring importance is the freedom of intelligence. That is to say, the freedom of observation and the freedom of judgment. So we're going to be looking at, this is another character type, with someone who liberates genius, liberates talent, and allows it to provide the maximum creativity and innovation for an organization. And we're going to be looking at the challenger character type, someone who challenges stereotypes, challenges the status quo, and leads the organization to new directions. And we're going to look at the debate maker, someone who stimulates creative debate within an organization. And we're going to be looking at the investor type and how to become these various character types. So please stay tuned for future shows.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.